This is the Davis and Beadle Podcast.
All right, back together again. Davis and Beadle. I'm Davis. On the other end of the line is Beadle. Beadle, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Doing fine. So before we get into too many things, we'll start with some NFL playoff football. So yeah. Are you gonna pitch me on why I should be at least a Buffalo Bills fan for this year's playoffs? Of course, already game in, but you're gonna sell me on getting on the Buffalo Bills bandwagon thanks to your boy Josh Allen.
It sells itself, doesn't it?
I mean, kinda
first
does.
Of all, they're playing the Chiefs. The Chiefs this week. You're on the wagon right then and there because
yeah,
of the Chiefs.
That's true. So, I mean, I don't even have to like Josh Allen to immediately go Bills, Bills Mafia. Yeah, I exactly, and beat the Chiefs. I've always liked Josh Allen, and the more I watch him play, the more sad I get that Denver passed on a chance to have that guy playing quarterback in Denver. Yeah. But our colleague Buffalo Mark, thrilled for Mark and how the Bills are doing. But yeah, I saw the article. I think it was an SI. We're outside of New York that Wyoming has the most viewers of Buffalo Bills football of any other place in the country, obviously because of their love of Wyoming great Josh Allen. So I think that's kind of cool that who would think that Buffalo, New York, Laramie, Wyoming, that there'd be some shared allegiances there.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Like if you kind of break down the fan bases and the things they like to do and what they kind of stand for and stuff like that, there's a lot of similarities. Now, obviously, there's not a lot of similarities between Laramie and Western New York other than maybe some snow. But the fan bases are similar. You know, they've kind of been a maligned group of fans over the years. Not a lot of championships, but they still have a lot of passion for their teams. And it's a good, fun-loving group. Obviously, Bills Mafia is known for breaking tables and drinking massive amounts of Labatt's. And fan would join in with that.
Yeah, you don't break tables, but massive amounts of Coors Light, right?
Exactly. So there's some similarities there, but I still go back to like the draft when I believe I was talking to you and Mark. Buffalo Mark, and I said, look, I don't know how the guy's going to turn out, but you're going to love him. Like, it's just who he is. You're going to love the person and the player that he is. Whether it's going to mean results, nobody really knew. I had an idea. I thought he would be pretty good, but, you know, there was a long way to go and a lot of things to have happen, but there was never a doubt with whether he was going to fit right in and be somebody that fan base just adores. And boy, I tell you what, it's been, you know, to the stratosphere with that stuff. They will go to bat for this guy now forever. And there's a good reason. I mean, he's a very genuine, very down to earth kind of personality, but yet he has personality. He's not a dud when it comes to personality.
No.
He's a super funny, super goofy kind of guy. But he just fits really well with that fan base, and he fit really well in Wyoming, and you know, people loved him when he was here, obviously, too. So, you know, with the Broncos being cruddy, there's only one place to turn for Wyoming fans, and that's
sure,
the Buffalo Bills. And I'm telling you, it's going to be hard to wrestle them back until Josh Allen is gone, because I watch them every week. We as a family watch them every week and root for them, and it's fun. He's just brought a whole new energy level to that fan base, to that city. And obviously, there's a lot of people rooting for him to, you know, knock out.
Well, I've always had a soft spot for the Buffalo Bills. I mean, they went to four straight Super Bowls and lost. A lot like the similar situation the Broncos went through. There's a lot of things to really like about, I think, about Buffalo. I'm never going to buy Buffalo Bills gear or anything like that, but I love Jim Kelly back in the day. Love Jim Kelly. And I think you can say a lot of the same things. You know, a feisty guy from Pennsylvania. You can say a lot of the same things. They play the game differently, but a lot of the same things about Josh Allen, a guy that's a super competitor, likable guy. And I'll definitely be rooting for the Bills. against the Chiefs coming up on Sunday night. Quick look at the rest of the games. We have a Locked On Broncos podcast host, Cody Rourke, who said during the season, actually at the start of the season, he goes, keep an eye on the Cincinnati Bengals. That's going to be a playoff team. And he was right about that. They not only are a playoff team, but they won the AFC North. They take on Tennessee, the number one seed, on Saturday. I just got this feeling, man, Cincinnati, well, they get Derrick Henry back in Tennessee, and that's a huge, huge part of their success. There's something about this Bengals football team that's kind of intriguing with Joe Burrow. Are you there?
You cut out there for a
okay,
minute.
Sorry.
You just popped back in. If you're looking for number two on Wyoming fans' list, it's the Bengals because of Logan Wilson and the middle linebacker and the job that he's done there too. Nobody really knows a whole lot about Logan Wilson outside of Wyoming, but they know a lot about Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow, and that in and of itself should scare the Jesus out of anybody playing them. And I don't disagree. Tennessee doesn't do a whole lot for me other than the fact that you know that they are going to be close in the end. Like you're not going to blow them out. It's not going to happen.
Right. They'll keep it close with the ground game with Henry and Tannehill.
Yeah.
Doesn't make a ton of mistakes. Their defense is good.
They're really well coached.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you got Niners. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
Yeah. I would see
that as an upset for sure.
Yeah, I could see that happening. Niners, Packers, San Francisco coming off the big upset of the weekend. Dak Prescott. Really, you had to have somebody in the Cowboys front office tell you that you had to apologize for, yeah, it was great that they threw crap at the officials. You guys screwed up. You didn't let the umpire place the ball. You called it was a bad play call at the end. You guys screwed up. It was not the officials' fault on that one. Now, Raiders fans, they can complain about the whistle on the touchdown in the Bengals game, but I don't think as good as the Niners are, though, and who knows, maybe Jimmy Garoppolo is your starting quarterback in Denver in 2022. He might be my guy over there in Denver. I don't know. But it's hard to go against the Packers at home, though the numbers on Aaron Rodgers after a bye week are not great. I think he senses this opportunity to get to a Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl. And as good as the Niners are, and they're going to have Nick Bosa available, I just don't see them beating Green Bay in Green Bay.
Yeah, it'll be tough. I don't know if they'll. Is it for sure that Nick Bosa is out?
They said he was going to be available. They said that he will be available for this weekend. Yeah,
that's a huge pick me up for San Francisco. I really believe that if Green Bay can win this one, then they'll go to the Super Bowl. But I wouldn't be surprised if San Francisco walks in and beats them because they're just super super physical, and sometimes that's the one thing that Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers have had a little bit of trouble with in these high pressure moments in the past, the teams that come in and just get physical and beat them up a little bit. So I think it's a tall task, though. I think you're right. They're going to have a lot of things go right for them, but they do have some of those elements that you need to beat a guy like Aaron Rodgers, which is a run game. The ability to keep him on the sideline if they can. And then a good pass rush, which they showed last week, obviously, as well. So, if they have some of the elements that you want, I think it'll be a tall task. But I wouldn't be surprised if they pulled that upset. But I do believe if Green Bay wins this game, I think they cruise into the Super Bowl.
And they'll take on the winner, if they do win, of Rams-Bucks. Rams beat the Buccaneers during the season. Bucks at home, they're not playing Philadelphia, which they made extremely one-dimensional when they really took the run game away from Jalen Hurts in the win over Philadelphia. And Brady found a way, like he usually does, to deal with the loss of receiver talent. Rams, though, how about a physical team? And the way Von Miller's playing right now, I could see it being a Rams-Packers NFC Championship game. I really do. I really could see the Rams going in there and winning because they stopped asking Matthew Stafford to throw it 40 times a game. Sean McVay finally realized he doesn't need to overuse his shiny new toy in Matthew Stafford, run the football with Akers and Sony Michel, got a great defense. Aaron Donald, one of the best defensive, if not the best defensive player in the league. Von Miller, Jalen Ramsey. I see them going in and knocking operating the Buccaneers coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, and getting Cam Akers back is huge for them. I think that's the real
difference maker. Yeah,
yeah, you know, and they just weren't healthy at running back all year. Even when Henderson was in there, he seemed to be banged up, and took a while for Sony Michel to kind of get the hang of everything. And now you have Cam Akers who's healthy, and boy, did he put on a bit of a show the other night. And I think that's just the big change for them offensively, is to have that guy going. So they're very, very dangerous, obviously. Just when it comes down to it, do you trust Matt Stafford enough to beat Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers in back-to-back weeks? Because that's probably what it's going to take, right?
So, yeah, I think him playing well. I don't think he has to shoulder the burden. He doesn't have to carry this football team like he did in Detroit. If they had any success, it was clearly on his right arm, whether they won or lost football games. It's a little bit like Elway in the back-to-back Super Bowl years, where it's not all about him, and he'll pick his spots and he'll have his moments. And I think early on, like you said, the season with Sean McVay, he went kind of gaga that he had his kind of quarterback, and they got away from what they were really good at, which is running the football, play action, put Stafford in good situations. And then, I mean, come on, you got Cooper Kupp, who's having a sick, insane year. And then the return of Odell Beckham Jr. has certainly done wonders for their passing offense. Yeah, I don't think it comes down to Stafford winning it. It's can their defense find a way to put some pressure on Brady, take Gronkowski away, and we'll see what happens in terms of who they get back in the backfield this week for Tampa Bay. But I don't think if it's all on Stafford, I'd be concerned. I don't think it's all on him, though. They've got enough really good pieces with the running game, the defense, that I think they are capable of winning back-to-back games. I don't think they beat Green Bay, but I can see them clearly beating Tampa Bay coming up Sunday. I think that's in the cards for them.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't disagree. I think they certainly have all the pieces now with the moves that they've made, and seem to be playing their best football at the right time. So,
all right, let's move on to the Broncos coaching search. We're recording this on a Wednesday. George Payton and the Broncos brass spent time talking with Cowboys defensive coordinator Dan Quinn, also with Cowboys offensive coordinator Boy Genius in Kellen Moore. And all the reports are is that Dan Quinn is the front runner for the job. He's the only guy among the candidates that's had head coaching experience or lost that infamous Super Bowl to the Patriots, which, in fairness to Dan Quinn, wasn't all on Dan Quinn. Kyle Shanahan played a role in that, too, with some of his very cute play calling in the second half. But we talked with Cody Rourke with Locked On Broncos podcast on our local radio show today, and he said that the vibe is, and they had interviewed, I believe, he had interviewed a Dallas beat writer who covers the Cowboys, that Kellen Moore, it's not like Kellen Moore goes in and really puts together all the game plan offensively. There's a lot of heavy lifting from others in regard to putting their offensive game plan together. He's only 33, and that while it's great he's getting interviews, and that offense was, you know, the top offense in terms of points and yardage in the league this season, that the consensus seems to be that he's still a good 2-3 years away from being a real head coaching candidate. It's just you have to, it's a little bit of like almost addressing the fan base. Well, we got to talk to the latest and greatest new offensive mind. And that Kellen Moore, while there are some of those things there with him, there's also more style than real substance when it comes to Kellen Moore and what he brings to the table as being the head coach of a football team.
Yeah, I don't think he's ready yet. And you can kind of go back and look at the playoff game, even the Broncos game against Dallas, where a good defense really caused him some problems. And,
yeah,
you know, it's never always the coordinator's fault, but it just kind of speaks to, right, there's a level that you're not quite at yet. And I just don't think that's the fit that the Broncos need right now, right? I don't think he's the guy to resurrect a very proud franchise. So I don't think he's the one yet. But who knows, if he goes in and dazzles them with an interview, and players seem to love him, then maybe, I don't know. I guess the question is can he bring Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson to Denver?
Yeah.
If that's the case, then sure. Go ahead, hire him.
Right. Otherwise,
I don't see it.
Yeah. And that's where, when we talked with Cody, that he thinks Dan Quinn's the number one candidate right now. Nathaniel Hackett, former OC in Buffalo, former OC in Jacksonville, and current offensive coordinator for the aforementioned Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, that Hackett is probably the close number two. But once, I've said this before, you can't count on Aaron Rodgers going, hey, Nathaniel Hackett's there. Luke Getsy's going to be my offensive coordinator. I'm going to Denver. You can't count on that. You have to make the assumption that Hackett, and if it's Getsy, he hires as his offensive coordinator if he gets the job, that there could be somebody else, whether it's Kenny Pickett, whoever, it's Mitchell Trubisky, I'm just throwing names out, that you might have to develop somebody else. And you're not going to have you're not going to have a finished product. You know, just you're going to spend some time in the garage working on that car, because it's not going to be showroom ready like an Aaron Rodgers or a Russell Wilson will be. You can't count on getting those guys right now. And I think it's laughable just to make the assumption, well, Denver's going to get Aaron Rodgers. We don't know that. And so you have to prepare for what reality is, which is possibly drafting a quarterback, looking at somebody else, and I keep talking about Trubisky a lot because I think the skill set is still, it's kind of intriguing. He did take the Bears to two Super Bowls. That maybe in the right situation, good talent around him, decent defense, good running game, that maybe Trubisky's a guy that, you know, certainly you'd rather have Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers. And I'm not saying, hey, let's get Mitchell Trubisky over those guys. That's idiotic. Put me in a mental institution if I was saying that. But that may be what you have to do, because Matt Ryan, his cap hit is exorbitant. That's not going to happen. There's some talk now that maybe Derek Carr, because of Mike Mayock getting canned, that there might be a change there. I don't see him in Denver, but who knows? I would welcome Derek Carr if he ends up coming to Denver. I think that would be a huge, huge elevation in terms of their quarterback position. But I just think it's ridiculous. We're going to get Nathaniel Hackett, and then that means Aaron Rodgers is going to be here. You better be prepared, if it's Hackett, for it to be whoever, whatever direction this ends up going.
Yeah, and I think there's only three names that they should even try to bring in as the next quarterback. And one of them you can't even talk about because nobody knows what's going on with him, and that's Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, and I don't see how it's going to work out.
Right. And then the other two are Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. And if you can't get one of those three guys to be the guy, then I think you got to draft. You cannot bring in another free agent journeyman, even if it's a guy like Mitch Trubisky, who you know has some starting experience, and you know, I don't think you can do it.
Yeah, I just feel like he's a guy that
isn't going to respond.
Yeah, I just feel like a case of a guy like him, if it's low cost, if it's a little bit like the Bridgewater thing, that maybe a change of scenery. He's had a chance to learn from Brian Daboll, be behind Josh Allen. But you've got to have another plan outside of him too, though. And I agree with you. Whether it's drafting Kenny Pickett or whatever, you can't just say, "Well, we got Trubisky, problem solved," because he may very well fizzle out. He may end up being exactly who he kind of has been, an inconsistent quarterback that got ran out of Chicago, and is now a backup in the league. And so you're right. I agree with what I heard Dave Logan say after the Broncos' final game of the season, that in the case of Rodgers and Wilson, you got to swing for the fences. If you're George Payton, you've got to try. But you better be prepared, if you swing out of your cleats, that you're not going to run into one that you're going to strike out. What do you do in that circumstance? Yep. So,
which is what we've said about John Elway. He got scared, right? That's why Josh Allen did not become a Bronco. John Elway got scared when he swung and missed a couple times, and you can't do it. You got to keep going. So you got to keep drafting guys until you find the guy. And there's many a team that have been through this, and you know, you can look at teams like the Bills. You can look at teams like the Bengals. You can look at teams like the Browns. They've been searching and searching and searching, but you know, they're going to keep doing it until they find the guy. And some of that has to do with coaching. Some of that has to do with the roster around them. We know that, but the roster's good. That's the thing with the Broncos right now is you have a good roster. It's not depleted by any means. You signed two big time receivers to extensions. You need a quarterback. Go start finding them. You got to do it.
Yeah. And whatever it takes to make that happen. I would like to think George Payton is, you know, he's all in on whatever it takes to get the right guy to come to Denver. Let's talk a little college basketball. Mountain West Conference has been very interesting. CSU's been nationally ranked, and they fell out after the loss to San Diego State. They're back in the coaches' poll this week. I believe it's number 23 for CSU. Just have the one loss to San Diego State. But Nico Medved, I think, has done a sensational job with CSU. And the Mountain West, you look at how good your Wyoming Cowboys are right now, second in the conference. Boise State's off to a 4-0 start in conference play. That the Mountain West could get maybe, what, three, potentially four teams in, the way things are looking? I mean, it's looking very promising right now for the Mountain West.
Yeah, it really is. I think, I mean, there's a real chance at four teams. Probably won't happen. Somebody's gonna fall off there. There'll be some attrition. But if things work out to where those top four teams, and I'm throwing Boise State in as that fourth team right now, if that happens, you know, that'll be as good as they've done in, oh gosh, at least 15, 20 years as far as the tournament's concerned and having tournament caliber teams. The crazy part is going in, it was pretty much San Diego State and CSU. Those were the two front runners to play for the conference title. There wasn't really anybody else that was going to be anywhere near them. And now, I mean, Wyoming's right in the mix. They're extremely tough to beat right now. Boise State is on like a 10 or 12 game streak. They haven't played anybody in the conference yet that you would consider in that real upper echelon, but they're really on a good streak right now. San Diego State beat what everybody thought was the best team by 30. So they're every bit as good as they have been in the last few years. So the road in the Mountain West is going to be really, really difficult. You know, who's coming to Laramie and winning? Who's coming to CSU and winning? Who's going to Boise and winning? That's going to be the decider is who can go and find those extra road wins that you didn't count on, and that's probably the team that's going to win the conference. And you know, right now, I don't know who it is. Those four teams are all really, really good. And I think the most fun out of this may be Wyoming versus CSU because they're both excellent teams. Their coaches are small guy alpha males that don't like each other,
yeah.
And that might be really, really, really fun when it comes down to it. Those two do not like each other very much, and they're both really good coaches. But man, they have some attitude, and if that rivalry grows to what it can be and has been at times, oh look out! Those are going to be some entertaining games.
Yeah, now if the Rams can keep Nico Medved, that's always the bugaboo,
well,
right?
He's keeping same a really good coach. Jeff Linder too.
Yep. What former Mav Jeff Linder.
Say that again.
Former Mav Jeff Linder, right?
Correct. For a very short time, former Mav, former Western State Mountaineer. But yeah, both really, really good coaches, both garnering national attention. Neither program will be able to afford what they're going to be offered. Whether they want to take those contracts and take a different job, that's up to them, but neither Wyoming nor CSU will be able to afford what will be offered to these guys within the next season or two.
Yeah, but I enjoy it while it lasts, right?
Yep, exactly.
Absolutely. Now, we'll wrap it up with one little baseball comment. It sounds more and more like we're going to see the DH in the National League, and I forgot where this came from, but the theory is that the DH is going to really exacerbate the problems of for guys to pitch at Coors Field, because now you will not have a pitcher that relatively, you know, perceived easy out, if you will, you know, in the lineup in the National League. Now you'll have a DH, and that will make it tougher for Rockies pitchers. Fact or fiction on that from your standpoint?
Well, it's fact for everybody in the National League.
Yeah.
I don't really get why it's magnified in Colorado. If you have to pitch to an extra hitter, not your, remember, when you add the DH, you don't add somebody to the nine hole. Typically you add somebody to the 3, 4, or 5 hole, and then that makes it that much tougher overall anyway. They don't add DHs as, you know, oh, he's just an extra hitter, I guess he can hit at the bottom of the order.
Right, no.
They will find DHs that can rake, because that's going to be their only job. So that's going to make it tough on everybody in the National League. But it's, you know, the American League teams deal with it all the time. Everybody's dealt with it through minor leagues and through college baseball. The pitcher doesn't hit except for in the National League. So, and that's the big argument, and I understand that. I just like the tradition of it and the difference in managing that it creates. But really, most of these players, they don't grow up going through the system pitching to a weakened lineup because the pitcher's in there. They pitch to DHs all the way through the system. So
yeah,
I don't think it's going to change any different than it changes anybody else's approach.
Yeah, and I agree. I look at the initial thought is, well, yeah, I agree. It does make it tougher. But like you said, it makes it tougher for everybody. It's not Coors Field specific that right. You're going to face now a guy that's a professional hitter. That's what he does. And you're right. They're not going to be dropped in the nine hole. Big Poppy, Edgar Martinez, those guys didn't hit 7, 8, 9, you know, when they were in the lineup as a DH. And so, yeah, I just think it's, yes, I agree, but not because it's a Coors Field thing. It's because you're facing a guy that's a professional hitter, that's a really good bat, and that's going to be a challenge whether you're out at Chavez Ravine or Coors Field or Chase Field or wherever in the National League.
Yeah, it's probably time. They've toyed with it and talked about it long enough. Just do it. I get it. I get why you want consistency, and I get that it helps add another player, and it does help managerial side of things. It makes things equal from a statistical standpoint, but, you know, they just weren't quite the same before. I'll miss it. I will. Because I love the managerial side that comes in with it, but I understand why they're doing it too. So,
yeah, if you want to make a complaint about interleague play, I mean, this would be the complaint about it, because it's one thing to do it when it started out for just a couple of weeks during the season where the leagues crossed over. Well, now interleague play is throughout the course of the season, and there comes a point where you just have to kind of go, okay, it probably needs to be the same in both leagues. But I'm with you. I think the time has come, but, you know, kind of the uniqueness has always been the fun part of it, and of the challenge of, like you said, managing and making, you know, the double switches and things like that went along with being a National League manager. But, you know, I think, you know, time has come, and probably standardization is the right thing to do moving forward. All right, Beetle, I appreciate it, man. Always good to talk with you, and, we'll get together next week.
Go Bills, right?
You know what? Go Bills. Go Josh Allen. Take down Kansas City, man. Go Josh Allen.
I'm gonna get you a Josh Allen shirt.
You can get me one. I'm probably not going to wear it. I mean, which is, and I like Josh Allen. I do. That's nice of you. I appreciate that. You know, my birthday is coming up, by the way. But I don't know how. I don't know if I would probably ever. I might wear it coming up, the Bills move on. Maybe down in the man cave watching a Bills playoff game. Yeah, I might throw it on for just that moment when there's nobody looking.
Okay, maybe it can replace your Gary Kubiak jersey that you still wear.
Come on, greatest caddy,
old number 8,
greatest NFL caddy of all time, Gary Kubiak.
True, true.
All right, Beetle, take care.
Talk to you next time.
This is the Davis and Beetle Podcast.
Oh,